You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
But we got to fight if we're going to win. We can't lay down and let the world just run over us, and let circumstances run over us, and tragedy run over us, and crisis run over us. We get hit, we get sucker punched, you cut us, we bleed. I understand that. But we can get back up. Amen? There's help and there's hope and there's healing. Amen. Maybe you've gone through some bad situations. Maybe you've just flat out sinned and were wrong. Well, thank God God's merciful. You can repent of your sin. You can get back up on your feet. Maybe you had a bad marriage. Maybe you had two bad marriages. Maybe you had three or four. I don't know. But you can start where you are and you can start again. Are you with me? You can start over. Hallelujah. Yes, there's always hope. Where there's breath, there's hope. You woke up this morning on the right side of the ground, okay? You're still alive. There's still hope for you, praise God. Now, as a Christian, as a believer, the day I don't get up on the right side of the ground is probably my best day, because that means I'm in heaven. Are you with me? Yeah. But as long as I'm here, there's hope. I can change. I can go forward. You can't undo the past. You can't unscramble eggs. But you know what? You can do something about your future. That's right. You can do something about your future. And you can get storm ready. You can learn from that experience you had. You know, there's not the best teacher. Experience is not the best teacher. But there is something worse than learning from experience. It's called not learning from experience. Yeah. Amen. Okay, you messed up. Join the club. You know, we've all done that. Well, let's don't do the same thing next time, okay? There are things that led up to that thing you did wrong. You didn't just wake up one day. Nobody wakes up one day and robs a bank, okay? They think about it a long time. They do some little things here and there. They build up to it, and their conscience gets so seared they just go rob a bank. They didn't say, hey, today I woke up and thought I'd rob a bank. No, they cultivated that thought, and they cultivated those actions. And so, you know, it's the same thing. Yeah, same thing with adultery or anything else you could think of. It starts out real subtle. It starts out real slow. Little compromises you make, watching the wrong thing, you know, on TV or buying the wrong kind of magazines, and you cultivate stuff like that. And then for long, you're in this great big sin, and you wonder how in the world you got there. Well, you started something that was taking you down the wrong road. See, if you're on the wrong road, you need to get off of it. Okay, you're bitter, you're hateful towards someone because you have a habit of being sarcastic and always pointing out the bad. Hey, develop a habit of pointing out the good in people. Develop a habit of praising people. Are you with me? Change something. See, if you don't change the little things, because we pay no attention to little things, we fall for big things. And it's always little things. We don't watch the pennies, and we're losing the quarters and the dollars and the, are you with me, and the big money. Because we're not paying attention to the little things. Well, it's the same way with sin. Let's don't just ignore the problems. And let's don't act like nothing, we didn't do anything wrong. Most of the time we did something wrong. Not all the time. Sometimes the devil just sucker punches. Sometimes somebody else did something to us. But if there's something we did, that's good news because I can change that. Amen. Amen? If I'm not just a victim, which I don't believe I am, I don't believe I'm a victim of parents. I don't believe I'm a victim of society. I don't believe I'm a victim of this government. Are you with me? Or a victim of this law or that law. I'm not a victim. I'm a victor. I'm a victor in Christ. I have the victory in Jesus. I can pray. I can believe God. Hallelujah. I can do something to get myself storm ready. I can. I got a thermostat I can set. Praise God. And let the wind blow outside. I can close the windows. Are you out there? Amen. I have a sin. I can find my center. They talk about finding your center. I've got an anchor in this storm-tossed world. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And his word, his promises, praise God. Well, they're just like setting a thermostat. I like that when the wind blows and depression tries to get a hold of me and doubt and defeat and all those things try to grab a hold of me. I can set my thermostat on Isaiah 26:3 that says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Hallelujah. Let the wind blow. I'm safe. I'm storm ready. Amen. I got my thermostat set. God will keep me in perfect peace because I'm going to keep my mind stayed on him. Right. And it goes on and says, because he trusteth in thee. The rest of that verse, Isaiah 26:3. So the promises of God, that's how we get storm ready. John 16, this is a verse we've gone over before many times. I'm just kind of wrapping up this series on being storm ready. We went over scriptures that talked about storms, how Jesus talked about storms over and over. And he says, he talked about a wise man and a foolish man. One wise man built his house on a rock. The foolish man built his house on sand. The storm came to both of them. The wise man's house stood. The foolish man's house fell. So it wasn't the wind and wasn't the storm, wasn't the rain that beat the man's house down. It was his foundation. It was how he built his house. Because the rain hit everybody. And the storm hit everybody. And the wind hit everybody. Are you with me? One stood, one didn't. So you can't really blame the wind. You can't blame the rain. You can't blame the waves. Jesus made it real simple. He said, one man did what I said, one man didn't do what I said. So if you do what God says, it doesn't mean you won't have storms. It just means when it's over, you'll still be standing. Are you out there? Doesn't mean the devil won't attack. Of course he will. But you win. You'll still be there when it's over. Hallelujah. You won't go under. You'll go over in Jesus' name. Well, John 16, he was talking about life and storms of life and tribulation. He says this in the 33rd verse, a well-known verse. You all know it. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Everybody say, in Jesus. You know, I like that. And I understand, literally, I am in Jesus. I am in Christ. I am a Christian. That's what Christian means, to be in Christ. And I've been immersed into Christ. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God took me when I accepted Jesus and placed me in the body of Christ. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature and old things are passed away. Amen? All things become new. I used to be in Adam, the sin of Adam, what Adam did. When he sinned against God, took the whole world into sin, and I was born in that sin. I was born in Adam. But when I was accepted Jesus, I was born again, and now I'm in Christ. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15 says, in Adam all die, in Christ all are made alive. And so that's where I am, that's where you are. If you know Jesus, you're in Christ, you're a Christian. And he says, these things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. I like that, because now after he's risen from the dead, I'm literally in him. But then he's also talking about a mindset. Are you really in Christ? In me? Are you believing in him? Are you trusting in him? Do you run to him? We sang that song earlier today, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. Hallelujah. There is a strong tower called Jesus, in the name of Jesus. But you have to run into there to be safe. I remember watching Jonathan when he was on, and Chris too, you know, they played baseball when they were little kids. And, you know, it was funny watching them run to base. If they would make it to the base before the ball touched them, you know how baseball works, you know, or softball or anything works. If they made it to base before they were touched by the ball, then the umpire will always say, safe. Hello. And so you want to run to base and get to base because that's where you're safe. Well, you and I, when the storms hit, need to run to the name of Jesus. We need to run into Jesus. We need to call on Jesus. We need to trust in Jesus. And if we do, the Holy Spirit will always say, safe. Yeah. And the devil can't touch you. Yeah. But you start playing around like those little kids usually do. Hey, 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 hey. You know, get off base, then they can touch you and get you out. Well, you need to stay on base. I've seen them do that and get out and start crying all the way back, you know. They're all, hey, 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 and they get out. In that moment, you know, their emotions change that quick. But thank God, you can be safe if you just run, slide into base. Amen? Praise God. So he's saying, these things have I spoken to you. Everybody say, these things. Okay, so that would require you to go back and read what he said. The 14th, the 15th, and 16th chapter. That was some intimate chapters that he sat down with his disciples. He actually sat down with them in the 13th chapter. That's when Judas went off to betray him. And then he had the rest, the other 11, he sat down with him and talked to him about the name of Jesus, the power of the name of Jesus. You know, he talked to him about a lot of things there. Talked about them doing the same things that he did. If they believed on him, they'd do the same things he did. And in 14, 15, and 16, he says, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. Well, then he says, he ends it up here in his 33rd verse, because the 17th chapter he's talking to his father, but he talks to the disciples for three chapters, and he ends up, he's saying, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In other words, if you'll listen to what I've been telling you, if you'll take note of what I just said in the 14th, 15th, 16th, if you'll pray, and you'll pray in faith, and you'll pray in my name. and you begin to act like me and do what I do, hello, you'll have peace. If you don't give up, if you don't quit, if you don't get into negativity, if you don't throw your arms up and say there's no use, no point to all this, and if you'll do what I do, if you'll say what I said, these things I have spoken, these words that I am this teaching I'm teaching here is what he's saying. And if you do this, in me you'll have peace.
Amen.
I told you these things so you could have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer.
Yeah.
I have overcome the world.
Amen.
And you can too. Amen?
Yeah.
Whatever the devil throws at you, you can overcome.
Amen.
If you'll heed my words, if you'll listen to what I said, if you'll do what I told you to do here in these last three chapters, man, that's good stuff. Amen?
Yeah.
I mean, that's John speaking, but that just reeks of what Jesus said over there in Matthew, the 7th chapter. He said, a wise man heard these sayings of mine, and he did them. And the storm came, and the wind blew, and the rains beat on the house, and it did not fall, because it was built on the rock.
Amen.
I mean, that's really the same thing. He said, he heard these things I said. That's what we call the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. If you did those things, and you listened to what Jesus said to do, and you yielded your life to that, then let the wind blow. We've heard the wind blow before.
Amen.
Amen. We overcome that. That's what we're born to overcome. Oh, is that the devil? Well, we're born to overcome the devil. Are you out there? The Bible says in James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Now, I just happen to believe that. How about you? That if I submit to God and I resist the devil will flee from me.
Right.
In that order, if I submit to God and then I resist the devil, he'll flee. I happen to believe Luke 10:19, where Jesus said to the 70 that returned after they'd cast out devils and healed the sick and all kinds of miraculous things took place. They said, even the devils are subject to us through your name. And he says, well, he said, don't rejoice because of that, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And then he said this, he said, behold, I give unto you power, the 19th verse of Luke 10. He said, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I happen to believe that.
Amen.
I believe we have power over the devil.
Yes.
I believe what the Bible says in Ephesians 1, where it says that we're the body of Christ, the fullness of him, and he's the head of the body, and he has put all things under his feet, all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come, and given us, the church, that authority. I believe that. Where Ephesians 1 talks about that and says puts all things under his feet. In other words, the devil's under Jesus' feet. Would you agree with that? Well, the context of Ephesians 1 is that we are his body. He's the head. We are the body. We are the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So I believe even if you're a heel, you're still part of the body. That was supposed to be funny. Y'all didn't get that, but that's okay. I'm even the lowest part of the body, just the foot. You're still part of the body. And the devil's under that. All principality and power and all might and dominion are under his feet. So if you've got a message for the devil, write it on the bottom of your shoe. That's where he is. I believe that. I believe the only power the devil has is what you give him. In fact, where Peter says he walks about as a roaring lion, 1 Peter 5:8, beware your adversary, the devil, that walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I think he's looking for permission. Are you going to accept this bag of goods? Are you going to sign off on this? Are you going to receive it? Or are you going to say, just get on down the road, I'm not taking that? Hello. Because that's what's happening. He's trying to sell it to you. He's trying to get you to take it. He's seeking whom he may devour. The next verse says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Resist the devil. Come on, don't put up with the devil. I don't know what you're going through, but don't give in to it. Somebody come knocking on your door and says, hey, I got this bag of rattlesnakes right here with your name on it, and I got a box over here with poisonous spiders. There's brown recluses. They're in this box, and this has your name on it. I need you to sign for it. Would you sign for it?
No.
No. I'd say return to sender. Address unknown. Come on now. You know the song. No such number. No such phone. No, I would say, no, that's not me. You got the wrong house. You are not coming here with those rattlesnakes, and you're not putting those brown recluses in my house. Well, why is it when the devil throws his bag of goods, we just sign for it? We just take it. We receive it. Oh, I'm just going under. He said, I'm just not going to make it. Well, yes, you are. You're going to make it. Don't you listen to the devil's lies. You need to get a hold of what Jesus said. Amen. And get peace. Get peace. Hebrews 6 chapter. Turn there if you would. Hebrews chapter 6. I love this. I've heard some women say it's in the Bible where men should make coffee. It says Hebrews, you know. I don't know about that. I think we ought to drink coffee. I believe that's the will of God to drink coffee. Hello. Hebrews, I think that's good enough, isn't it? Hallelujah. I got all these little, you know, pictures with little, they call them memes, you know, and I'll text to Amanda right before I get into the office about coffee. I found my birthstone. It's a coffee bean. Did you ever think that coffee may be addicted to me? You know, another one. And another one says, yes, I can make it all day without coffee, but do we really want to find out what kind of day that would be like? You know, things like that. So, and what is the other one? I do believe in magic. I drink this potion made from a magic bean called coffee every morning, and it wakes me up. Anyway. Okay. Hebrews 6. No, I don't believe in magic. In reality, it's just a joke. Okay. Hebrews 6 chapter. Notice what it says in 17th verse. It says, we're in God willing more abundantly to show unto heirs, the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath. In other words, you know, he wanted to make sure we all understood that what he said was going to come to pass. That's what he was saying. He said something. 18th verse, that by two immutable things, two unchangeable facts, this you cannot change. I always heard that, you know, that all liars can figure, but figures can't lie. Hello. So the figures speak for themselves. 1 and 1 equals 2. That's a self-evident truth. You can't get around that, no matter what they call common math, common core, whatever they call it. You know, there are some things that just don't change. You know, there are some absolutes here. So God's given us some facts here, two immutable things, unchanging things. It's impossible for God to lie. Now, notice it doesn't say another thing. You think, well, what's the second thing? Well, the first thing is really he said something, and the second thing is he can't lie. That's the point he's making. God has made a promise, and he made an oath that he can't lie. So the first thing is, what does God say? And the second thing you need to always remember is that God can't lie. So if you can find what God says, that's an unchangeable fact. God can't lie. That's another unchangeable fact. And those two facts, those unchangeable truths, actually facts that the Bible says here, will keep you solid and rock solid in the storms of life. God said this, and God can't lie. God said, I'll make it, and God can't lie. God said, I got to have peace in him. God can't lie. Are you out there? And he says that by two immutable things, which is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. We have a hope before us. No matter what's going on in the world, no matter what you're going through maritally, no matter what you're going through economically, no matter what you're going physically or emotionally, what you're going through, whatever kind of storm it is, whether it's an emotional storm, however hard the wind is blowing, however hard the rain is coming down. Listen, we have hope. We are not without hope. We have a refuge to run to. And he says this, which hope, 19th verse, we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which we enter into within the veil. We go right into the Holy of Holies with this hope. And Jesus, it goes on and says, is our forerunner. See, Jesus is our hope and our anchor. Amen. No matter what goes on in the world, he never changes. No matter what happens to you, the word's true and God can't lie. Amen. You still have a promise and God's still going to do what he says. Because he's not a man, he'd lie, nor the son of man, he'd repent. He will do what he says. If he said he'd show up, he will show up. If he says he'll come through, he will come through. Hallelujah. He will show up and he will show out like he always does. Woo! So shake yourself. Amen? It's not over. Hallelujah. In fact, it's not over till we win. It's not over till we go right on into glory. Hallelujah. So whatever the case may be, don't give up on yourself. God didn't give up on you. Oh, come on. Well, I just can't forgive myself. Well, God forgave you. How come you can't forgive yourself? You could forgive somebody else. Why can't you forgive yourself?
Amen.
I mean, we'll forgive other people. We just won't forgive ourselves. Why is that? You know why? It's like an inverted or convoluted or discombobulated or a cattywampus perversion of this idea of humility. I said all that to say this. It's a false humility. We think we're being humble, but actually we're being proud. We can't forgive ourselves because we think we're better than everybody else. We can forgive somebody else for doing it, but we can never forgive ourselves because we're not that way. And for us to have done that, that's impossible because we're better than that. Well, I hate to pop your bubble, but you're not better than that. And you're just like everybody else. And we're all in this thing together. And you can sin. And when you sin, you need to repent of your sin. And forgive yourself. And go forward. Well, I just can't believe I did that. Why not? We all believe you did it. We can believe it. Are you out there? You can believe anybody else could do it. But you just can't believe you did it. Do you really think you're that great? Oh, no, you don't like preaching like this, do you? No, it's the truth, though. It is the truth, and you know it. And I do the same thing because I think, I can't believe I did it. Oh, I can believe anybody else do it, but I can't believe I did that. Why? Because I have a higher opinion of myself than everybody else. And that's wrong. We're all in this thing together. God loves all of us. That's not an excuse for sin. I mean, I'm not saying go out there and just do whatever you want to. No, you need to repent when you sin. But you need to be reminded every time that happens that you're not perfect and you need God in your life and you need him to forgive you and you need him to help you and you need him to strengthen you and you need to get in church and you need to get in the word, amen? And you need to work on yourself, hallelujah. Y'all out there, I don't know where that came from, but somebody needed that. Come on, we all need to hear that. A lot of times we think we're being spiritual and humble and we're just being prideful. Just a spiritual pride. Wow. How could you get so upset with yourself about that? I mean, you sinned and you just repent of it. But you can't let it go because you just think you're better than that.
That's bad news.
That's bad when you get there, isn't it? Humility is an elusive thing. About the time you think you got it, you just lost it. Mm-hmm. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
You know that guy wrote that book. He said, Humility and How I Attained It. Well, you already lost it with that title, you know. And the second sequel to that was God humbled me, and I'm proud of it. You know, I mean, humility is not something you talk about all the time, think about all the time, you know, because as soon as you start dwelling on it, you're already starting to lose it. Ephesians 4. Y'all get anything out of this?
Yeah.
Okay. Ephesians 4. Now, Ephesians 4 talks about a ministry that God ordains, you know, how he ordains pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets and apostles and he says he'll do that until we all come to the unity of the faith. Talks about giving gifts to men. And he says the purpose of that, my purpose as a pastor and a teacher is, of course, for the perfecting of the saints. That's my purpose is not to do everything for you. My purpose is to empower you to do things. And that's just what Jesus did. Jesus came to save us and then to empower us to do things. Empower us to do things. That's why he said, you go. Go ye to all the world. Because now we have the power. We need to go do it. I think we're waiting around God to do something. He's waiting around on us to do something. Amen. Jesus said, I've overcome, meaning that you can overcome. Not that you can just overcome by doing nothing, but by believing, by standing on the word, by saying what Jesus said and doing what Jesus did. So there's always something you can do. There's always something you can say, something you can pray to get you out of the mess you're in. And so here he's talking about the ministry gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher, and pastor, and he says, therefore, that 12th verse, the perfecting of the saints, that they can do the work of the ministry. In other words, a real healthy church is where everybody's talking about the Lord and everybody's praying for the sick, not just the pastor, but everybody's calling on each other when they're sick and everybody's laying hands on the sick and everybody's praying for each other. And that's my main job is to empower others. Are you with me? And that's what this church is about, is empowering you with the good news. We say this every service. empowering you with the good news of Jesus Christ so you can change your world. Amen? And so he talks about the perfecting of the saints, to all come to the unity of the saints. And he goes on down to 14th verse. He says that we no longer be children, that we grow up. God wants us to grow up, not just be babies all of our life. That we no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and teaching, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby thou lie in wait to deceive. There's a lot of weird ideas out there. I got a call this week from somebody in Houston, and they just heard about some they had a Bible study, and somebody brought up this teaching about these people that live on the 12th planet, and that were the giants of Genesis the 6th chapter, and how they were going to come return again. They said, you ever heard that? And I says, no, I don't watch those UFO channels. You know, they have those programs for the aliens and UFOs and all that stuff. There's every kind of belief you can think of in the world. There really is. There's some wild ideals out there. And now, how do you protect yourself from that? How do you keep on the straight and narrow? How do you keep straight? Well, you keep straight by getting the word. Back to the same thing. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Amen? And you start going over these scriptures that God spoke something and God cannot lie. It always comes down to the word of God keeps us anchored and helps us find our center in the storms of life. Without knowing what God said, and not without believing that God can't lie, without knowing what Jesus said and he spoke to us, then when tribulation comes, and it will come, we'll give up and we won't be of good cheer and we won't overcome because we're not anchored. We're not centered. We're not focused like we need to be focused. You need to be focused on some things that never change. And the things that never change is God's word, God's love for you. Yeah. You can make it. You can make it. Don't you buy that lie that you can't make it. You'll never recover from this. That's a lie. You can recover from this. I don't know what you're going through, but I know you can recover from it. God said so, and I believe God. I know countless tests. I've heard testimony. I've read book after book of people that have come out of the most horrendous things you've ever imagined and made it.
Yes.
Mm. They were backed up against the Red Sea, and God split it for Moses and 2 million Hebrew children. Now, I don't know how bad your situation is, but are you facing a Red Sea? God can split it if it needs to be. God can do anything.
Amen.
Amen. So what we do, so we don't get tossed to and fro with the winds of this world and the prophecies of this world and the negative thoughts that come and what everybody's saying is going to happen to us and what your own body's telling you is going to happen to you and what your mind's telling you. See, you spend way too much time listening to yourself, and you need to spend more time talking to yourself. I know that sounds convoluted, but it's still the truth. You're listening to your feelings. You're listening to what's going on inside. You need to start talking to yourself. You need to start talking God's word to yourself.
Yeah.
You need to start saying what God says to yourself. He goes on and says this. And let me wrap this up. He says, they lie in wait to deceive. And the devil is trying to deceive us. And it's all in our head. It's all that teaching. It's all that doctrine. It's all that I'm not going to make it, or I'm no good, or I don't count, or I'm worthless. All those things that come, those storms of, you know, thoughts that come. But he says, with this in mind, good teaching, if you got good teaching and you got the word, 15th verse, speak the truth in love. You ought to speak the truth, and the truth is what God says. I don't know what you're saying or what you're repeating or what you're talking about, but you need to start repeating and talking about the truth.
Amen.
Amen. So quit talking about your problem, start talking about the answer. Quit talking about the mountain and start talking about God, who's bigger than your mountain. Amen. Speak the truth in love and grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So the way out is to speak the truth. To say what God says. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And if you go back to where we started, those things I've spoken unto you, Jesus said, and then two immutable facts. These are unchanging facts. God said something and God can't lie. You believe that? If you believe that, you can come out of that storm.
Amen.
You can make it through that storm. You need to set your rudder, as James says in the 3rd chapter. He talks about the tongue being a rudder. He said ships are tossed to and fro with winds, but they only go where the rudder's set. And he says even horses as big as they are, they're turned with just a bridle, just the bit in their mouth. So you're not going where the storm's blowing you. You're going where your mouth is taking you. You're going where your rudder's set. Yeah. Let the wind blow. The wind doesn't determine where the ship turns out. The wind, it doesn't have anything to do with it. It's the rudder that determines where the ship goes. In fact, a guy with a sailboat can even go upwind by tacking left and right. I mean, he can turn that sail in such a way, I don't know the terminology, but he can actually go forward when the wind's blowing against him by the way he turns the sail and turns his rudder. Are you with me? We can do the same thing. Let the wind blow. We got our rudder set. We're speaking the truth. Amen? Amen. And that's how we overcome the storms of life. You count, you're somebody, you can make it. Amen? You're going to be just fine because you're trusting God. Doesn't mean bad things not going to happen or hadn't happened. We know that. I understand that. But you'll still be standing. You're going to make it. Hallelujah. You ought to start saying, I'm blessed, can't be cursed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. Hallelujah. I've been blessed by the best. Amen. I am healed, hallelujah, by the stripes of Jesus. Doesn't matter what I feel like. Well, you sure don't look like it. Well, thank God it doesn't matter what I look like. What matters is what I believe, and I believe I'm healed. Well, how do you feel? Well, I don't feel too good, but it doesn't matter what I feel like. I am healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. I'm prosperous. My God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack for any good thing. He daily loads me with his benefits. Hallelujah. And the blessing of the Lord makes me rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Hallelujah. Well, what's your checkbook look like? Well, you know, I'm praying about that, but I tell you what, I'm prosperous. I'm blessed. The Bible says so. And God hasn't forsaken me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. Praise God. Don't know how, don't know when, but I know he'll do it because he can't lie. Yeah. Amen? Amen? I may be in the battle. The wind may be blowing, but I have found my center. I have found an anchor for my soul. And it is God's word and his promises. Praise God. Woo! Stand up, give the Lord a shout and a hand clap. Yeah.